You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You just found the very best in original talk radio broadcasting on the internet. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want. What we want. You're listening to On the Couch, On the Couch with Dr. Michelle on LA Talk Radio.
Here on LA Talk Radio, the country's most listened to talk radio station. And welcome to my couch. You are officially on the couch with Dr. Michelle. And you can just get comfy, take your shoes off, or wherever you're at. Hopefully, if you're driving, you don't want to do that. If you're in your office, go for it. It's your office. It's your space. Anyway, I have a great guest, as always. And I've had this lady on several times before, and the reason why is because she's so good. I keep asking her back because she's amazing, and you've probably heard previous interviews. We're going to even delve deeper into her book. It's Pamela Beatty. She's the author of the book, Why Am I Effed Up? Yeah, it says effed. Come on now. We have some class here. We're not going to say the bad word. And it does say effed on the book, too, so there you go. Pamela, by the way, is a well-known teacher and lecturer about her expertise as an acclaimed empathic intuitive. Pamela is also an energy healer, past life therapist, and you've done a lot of media coverage, too. You know,
yes,
you've really been out there, girl. But you've been on the Bravo show. I remember you were on that Flipping Out show.
Yeah.
That was cool.
It was. It was. Jeff's a great guy.
I know. So. Well, you were good. And also, Pamela's been a crime scene psychic. Yeah. For the Sci-Fi Channel. Now, though, that's really fascinating stuff. I know. I remember that. That's and also for the Journal for Longevity and many, many, many other publications she's been out there. But her latest book, we're talking about Why Am I Effed Up? And if you would like more information about Pam and her book, let's just put it out there right now so they can go online while they're listening to us. How's that, Pam?
Right. Well, it's... Sorry. There's a couple places. The book is on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com. And also, to find out more about me, it's you can go to either PamelaBeatty.net or you can go to the blog, which is Why Am I Effed Up?
Okay. I love it.
.net. I think it's .net. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Either one will get you to me.
Great. And we got a lot of responses this morning because you tweeted about this show.
Thank you. Yes, I did.
Thank you for doing that, girl. I appreciate
that.
You're
welcome.
And, of course, if you have any questions or comments or you want to ask Pamela a question, anything you would like to ask, the number is 323-203-0815. That's 323-203-0815. We welcome all your calls. And, of course, if you have questions or comments, you can also contact the email address that's hooked up to the radio station here. It's docmichelle@aol.com. You'll see it right there on the homepage of On the Couch. docmichelle@aol.com. You know, sometimes I like to start at the end of books and go backwards, go to the front. Because, you know,
I love that about you.
Yeah, I know. It's, I know. One of those late starters, I guess,
yeah,
in life.
Exactly.
But in your book, Why Am I Effed Up? You talk about your story.
Right.
Yeah. So can you share a little bit with the audience your story and what influenced you to write this book?
Well, there were several factors that influenced me, but partially because of my story. I grew up a daughter of a Baptist minister.
Ooh.
So I had a lot of religion kind of thrown in my face a little bit. And none of it ever, all the things that my father used to say, didn't make sense to me. And I used to argue with him a lot. You know, I'd never read the Bible. I mean, I was forced to, but I hadn't read it. And I always just thought, you know, that doesn't sound right. Something about that doesn't sound right. So
even when you were young.
Yeah. Hmm. So we used to get in these rather nasty debates after, I don't know if you've ever been around religious people, but on Sunday mornings and Sunday afternoon at a preacher's house, you don't just live the sermon at the time. You live it all day long. So
sure.
They sit around and talk about what the sermon meant and or what it didn't mean. And they sit around and fight about it, about what the Bible really meant. And so I grew up with that.
Right.
I grew up listening to the debates. And every time I would try to participate in those debates,
mm-hmm.
I would be told to, you know, children were seen and not heard.
Oh, my goodness.
And I grew up with an abusive father. He was a minister, but he was also very abusive. Mm. So he'd preach on Sunday morning and beat us up on Sunday night.
Oh,
so.
I see.
Yes. Yeah.
We call those hypocrites.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, with a capital H.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so I grew up with that. You know, I grew up with God being shoved down my throat.
Right.
And how God was going to punish me. And
oh,
God
yeah.
was evil. You know, and there should be some sort of evil music behind that. God is evil.
Yep.
You know, exactly. And I never agreed with it. You know, so one Sunday morning at church, they started. I hadn't been to church in a while, and I walked in and sat down at the back of the church, and I just thought, well, you know, I'm going to try this again. I probably hadn't been to church in 3 years, so I thought. I was missing something. There was a hole in my heart,
mm-hmm.
and I felt like, well, I've got to find something.
Hmm.
And so I went into the church, and I was a pretty defiant young person.
How old were you, a teen at that time?
I was 18.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I was 18. So I went into church, and I thought, you know, I'm just going to sneak in the back, you know, and see if I can't get something out of this because I'm missing something. And sat down in the back, and then all of a sudden, the ministers get up, and there were three of them, my father, my uncle, and another man. And they're talking, and they say, you know, we're so glad to see strangers, Pam, and the whole congregation turned and looked at me, and, you know, you can't just come in once in a while. And they were just making,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, they were making
That's so humiliating.
Oh, it was awful.
Yeah.
And they just, everybody was laughing, and
oh.
they thought it was funny. And finally, I had had enough, and I just... kind of stood up and I said, you know what? If you three up there on that pulpit represent God, then God's an asshole. And I just
wow,
turned around.
Girl.
I was so
Ooh.
Mad. Yeah. I was 18.
Yeah,
you know what
yeah,
I mean?
There you
and
go.
So,
yeah, I do.
yeah. yeah. So it was just, it was shoved, because it was shoved down my throat and because it was so negative, it made me think this can't be right.
Mm-hmm.
When I looked at the skies
yes.
and I looked at the trees and I looked at the ocean and the flowers and everything that God created,
yes,
I went, well, this just can't be right. What they're saying
right.
can't be right. So it motivated me on a spiritual path and to find the truth and to find this anthropomorphic God that they kept talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
And the book came about because for 20 years I've been listening to people's stories and.
Mm-hmm.
being so upset about themselves and really hating themselves, you know?
Right.
And so the book came about because so many times people would come to me and we'd sit down and talk about their life and they'd just say, Pamela, why am I so effed up? I just don't understand. What's wrong with me? I'm so screwed up.
Mm-hmm.
So after years of hearing that, I thought, you know what? People need to know what's
yes.
really going on in their life from a spiritual perspective and that they're not really effed up.
Yes.
You know, they're just, they've got life experiences, they've got karma, you know, they've got inner child stuff that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason
yes.
behind every negative thing that happens
mm-hmm.
to you. And I wanted people to know, and I think my childhood experience made me realize there's so much more
yes.
to life than what people know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not just, it's an illusion, most of it. You know, I think Don Miguel Ruiz wrote a great book in one of his book, The Four Agreements.
Right.
And, you know, and that in that book, it's like he says, hell is a state of mind.
Yes.
And it really is.
Yes, it is.
And I wanted people to understand where that state of mind came from.
Interesting.
And that's what the book is. That's what the book is all about. But it's kind of a my life was kind of a how to in reverse.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Well, you know, it's like
better late than never. Girl.
Yes, exactly.
That's what I say.
Exactly. And you know, I was a mess. Well. I was an absolute mess.
Well, you have it's a wonderful book, and I
Thank
know
you
have helped so many people. And what a lovely thing to say is you're not effed up. It's just situations and belief systems and fears, you know. So you've been a lovely healer to a lot of people. I know that.
Thank you.
It's true. By
I
the way,
so.
you have. If you just tuned in here on LA Talk Radio, my special guest today on the couch is Pamela Beatty. She is the author of her book, Why Am I Effed Up? F apostrophe D right there on the cover. And, of course, you can get it at Amazon, Barnes & Noble. It's all over the Internet if you'd like. It's a great book. And she really guides you through a lot of issues that we all have to face in life and get you more in touch with the reality of who we really are. So, I was just wondering, Pamela, why would a spiritual book, and this is not a, you know, I thought it was funny, but why would a spiritual book have a title with, you know, the ultimate, of course, the ultimate cuss word is not on the title. You say F apostrophe D, but why did you put that?
Well, a couple reasons. One, that's the thing that people kept saying to me all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Two, get people's attention.
Mm-hmm.
Three, to take away the fear around words and just to let them, I think a lot of people, they're so worried that they're going to be judged by the things that they say and do. And, and the only person that's judging you is you. And so I wanted to put something out there that normal, everyday people, not people that are determined to be on a certain path. Do you know what I mean?
Yep. Yep.
And I wanted people that normally would not pick up a book on spirituality to pick up the book on spirituality.
Yeah.
And so I wanted it to be relatable.
It is really relatable, and it's a great read. It's pretty clear, and it really covers so many of the different topics that we hear about and we read about in contemporary, I hesitate to say spirituality, but I mean, truly, it's what it's about. Do you think a lot of young kids now are more enlightened, and do you feel that a lot of the punitive things that you and I had to deal with growing up, you know, like a lot of the religious dogma, you have to believe this way, you have to feel this way, and if you're not, you're either a sinner or you're going to hell, or in my case, it's you're a bad person, you know, you're not following what the family wants you to do. So do you think a lot of young people are becoming more enlightened, and do you think they'll have some of the same issues that we had?
Well, I think they have different issues. I think the issues are still there. According to the Tea Party and politics, you know, they're controlling the religious right, if you will, are controlling an awful lot in this world today.
Well, you see that, don't you?
Yeah. And it's all about money. It's not about religion.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not about the more you fear God, the more you love them. So.
Mm. Scary.
It is scary. Mm-hmm. And as far as young people today, the theory I have about that is that, yes, there are some that are extremely enlightened, and then there are some that are really negative and dark, and all they're concerned about is materialism.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they've chosen to come into the body at this time because it's the best time ever.
Yes.
It's all about materialism in our world. Our politics are about money.
Yep.
Everything is about money. And
yep.
so the souls that, this is what I think, but what do I know? But the souls that have come into the body over the last 30, 40 years, that's 30 years anyway, that's all they care about. Not every single one.
Yeah.
But I know it sounds like a generality, but they're still the bulk of the souls that are coming into the body now.
Mm-hmm.
They're coming into the body for one last ride. You know, like,
woohoo!
Yeah, like, let's go experience everything we can. And so their motivation is money only, money and things, and there's not much caring in it. I think, if you really take the time to look at it, you'll see. I mean, you know, you've got young kids that all they're concerned about is their career. They're 10 years old talking about a career.
Yes.
They're not talking about
You know where
playing.
That's coming from.
Oh, yeah. I mean, look at our television shows. I was just watching The X Factor last night.
Yeah. Yeah.
And these young kids, and it's like, I wanted this all my life. You're 9.
You're 14? Hello?
Yeah. Exactly. You're 9 years old.
Yeah. Where did that come from?
Yeah. And they're always talking about, young people are always talking about their careers and how important their careers are. And and I think there are, not to get all woo-woo, but I think there are forces at work in our universe that want it this way. Because the more attention you are paying to getting what's yours and being materialistic, the less attention you're paying to what's really going on.
Yes, that might be true.
It's a diversion.
And maybe if they focused more on their passion, what they wanted, and I really try to encourage a lot of parents in my work to get an education so you're well-rounded, to encourage their children to do that. And
But they want, it's just like everything else in the world.
Don't take
it on. Yeah, they want instant, they went drive-through mentality.
Right.
They're 12 years old, 14 years old, and they're talking about their career, and they're, I'll die if I don't get this. You're 14. Where are their parents?
Exactly.
Where are the parents? I got off track.
But. No. It's all good with me, honey. No problem. By the way,
I digress.
If you just tuned in here on the couch, my special guest today is Pamela Beatty. We're talking about her new book and other things, too.
Yeah.
It's Why Am I Effed Up? And, of course, Pam is a well-known teacher and lecturer. She's talking about her expertise as an acclaimed empathic intuitive and an energy healer. Can we talk a little bit about what that is?
Whatever you
want. If I can get it out.
I'm so with it with you. I mean, our conversations are so interesting. I don't care where we go.
We always have a good vibe going on, Pamela.
We really do.
What is an empathic healer?
It's, okay. We are all one. Mm. I'm going to try to describe this in the simplest way I can, but we're all one. Mm-hmm. We're all made from the same cloth. We're all connected energetically. So empathy is not just feeling sorry for somebody, but actually feeling their sorrow.
Yeah.
So when I come into a room, I'll get headaches and stomach aches and because I'm so incredibly now after all these years empathic.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel what you feel and my readings are based on that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I feel what you feel without judgment of what you feel.
Right.
And that's
right.
the difference. And that's why I can see it. I take an objective. I'm the objective observer.
Ah, okay.
You are not.
Okay.
And
so
I don't mean you specifically.
No, I know.
My clients are not. So I feel it first. I empathically feel it. You either have sympathy or empathy.
Yes.
I never feel sorry for anybody because I know that the struggles they're going through are good for them.
It's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. There's something they're going to get out of it, and it's really good. So empathically, an empathic healer, I feel what you feel. And in feeling what you feel, I can sometimes, and more often than not, take it away from you.
Mm.
I can give you an objective observation about why it's good for you, why you're feeling so bad. And then a lot of the times, if your soul will let me, I'll take it away from you. I take it on myself because I have no emotional attachment to the energy.
Yes.
So since I don't have an emotional attachment to it, it dissipates.
Is that how you, so that's how you protect yourself is because you just say, no, this is not mine.
Yeah. I don't have any emotional attachment to it. So it goes away.
Do you have to have some sort of history though within yourself and feelings and pain and sadness? And, you have a history of a lot of troubles when you were young.
Yeah.
You were abused sexually, I understand as well.
Yes.
So you really had to overcome a lot. Does knowing this and having felt these things help you really empathize with people better?
For a long time, it helped me to sympathize with them.
Mm-hmm.
I felt sorry for them because I had experienced the same kind of thing. And it's, in my sessions, I just tell people, listen, there ain't probably not much that's happened to you that hadn't happened to me. It's made me, and I think my soul chose that to have a lot of negativity.
Yes.
So that coming out of it, I could say, oh, that's nothing. Sexual abuse, you can get over that.
Yes.
And I don't mean that in a casual way.
No,
I just mean that I know you can.
I know there's
a way to come to come out of it on the other side because I've experienced it.
I want you to know that I use your book with clients.
Oh,
I use your book as a therapeutic tool, and I always suggest clients get your book because.
Oh my God! Thank you so much.
Well, you're welcome. But you're wonderful, and you have instruction in the book too. It's cognitive behavioral. You cover them all: psychodynamic, dealing with the early childhood issues, and so you do have work that you assign or suggest to people. And, you know, it really helps them work through a lot of their issues. And I've heard a lot of great feedback.
Oh, thank you so much. You that's know. Well, that's why I wrote the book. So
yeah, there
nice
you go.
Nice to know it's working.
It's really true. Let's kind of just move along a little bit about your sexual abuse. I know in your book, and it's really tough, but I really appreciate you being so candid about it. Yeah. So,
no, I think we all have to talk about it.
What are some of the wrong messages that kind of messed you up about life after being sexually abused?
Well, I'll tell you, I didn't know I was I did not remember being sexually abused until, gosh, it was probably 8 or 9 years ago.
You shoved it down.
It down so deeply. Mm-hmm. It was just not there. Mm-hmm. The memory wasn't there.
Yeah.
And what happened is I kept being so angry at women. I mean, I hated them. I was going through a time in my life where I just thought, you're so stupid. And I was just, you know.
Talking about yourself, girl.
Oh, yeah. And I was really right. bashing women.
Right.
And so I went to a therapist, a friend of mine, and I said, something's going on. My soul is trying to tell me something. I don't know what it is.
Right.
But I hate women, and I can't accept money.
Yes.
Every time a client would try to pay me, I'd say, just lay it on the counter.
I'm not worthy.
Just lay it on the counter. I can't touch that money. And so what we got to in that session with her was, it was ready to come out. Let me just say that. It was the information that was stored in my cells was ready to come out. I couldn't take it anymore. And what we got to was, when I was a little kid, like from 4 to 7 years old, one of my family members would put coins in my hand and say, okay, here, I'm going to pay you, so don't tell anybody this is...
Oh, my God, Pamela.
Yeah. So, and then he would, and then he would abuse me, and I had memories come up where I used to hide under a bed so he couldn't see me, and I lay under there flat, and I couldn't move, and yeah.
Aww.
And I hated women and all their weaknesses because I felt like I was too weak and, you know, I didn't stand up to them and I just let it happen. And and so when women would come to me in relationships and I just, in my head, I would think, you are so stupid. Why would you let a man do that to you? And I'd realize, like, wait a minute, Pam, where's your compassion?
Right.
You know, where's your understanding? But I didn't have the memory. It was gone.
Right.
So once I got that memory out, what happened was, first off, I started being able to accept money.
Yeah.
My dislike for women of all kind of went away. And I didn't feel so dirty all the time.
Yes.
I guess that's and I didn't know why.
That's right. That's
and
what I'm
sexually,
trying to
it's just like, oh, God, don't touch me. It's just like you're disgusting.
Sure, that's a normal reaction.
Yeah, but I didn't know. But I didn't know. So getting that out of my cells, out of my cellular memory, was probably one of the greatest gifts of my life. I mean, it started really changing me.
Yeah.
For the better. I mean, it was like, oh, my God. And it's like, it's really why I wrote the book, because no one had told me. I had no idea.
Right.
And I just thought, I'm really effed up. There's something really wrong with me.
Do you suppose it was a family secret that other people knew about?
Oh, I think they did.
Oh, dear.
I think they did, and I think they suspected.
Yeah.
And, but nobody wanted to, it was, you didn't dare talk about it. And I had no memory of it. But also, you know, it was like in my younger days, I was very promiscuous. But not, I hated it the whole time. And then I would judge myself like, oh, my God, you just slept with that person. You didn't know. Why did you do that? And I realized, you know, afterwards, like, well, no wonder.
Yes, exactly.
That reality just gave me such love, helped give me love for myself.
Yes.
Well, no wonder I acted that way.
Yes,
no
exactly.
No wonder I was promiscuous.
Right.
You know,
right.
it's a wonder I wasn't, you know, a prostitute or something. You know what I mean? I could have been.
You know, and if you read autobiographies or if you read information about a lot of prostitutes and, you know, a lot of their early experiences do come from sexual abuse.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because they feel that that's what they're only worthy
of. That's what love is.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what love is. Perfect.
Yeah.
Speaking about love, what are some of the misperceptions of love that you talk about in your book?
Well, the first one, I think this is the biggest one, and this came up in my mind again this morning, is that in order to feel love, you need someone else to give it to you. I think that's the biggest misperception, because love doesn't come from somebody else.
Yes.
You know, when we're in a relationship, we think, oh, this person loves me. And then when they leave, I read this great quote one time. If you make someone your everything, when they're gone, you have nothing.
Yeah, it's true.
And I think people misperceive that love is something someone is giving you, and it isn't. It's love is on the inside of you. Love is what you are. When you're in a relationship, you value yourself more. Therefore, you love yourself more. Mm-hmm. And that's the love you're feeling.
Right.
Not somebody giving it to you.
Right.
I think that, you know, to me, if you can just get that one element of love, then you'll get it. Mm-hmm. I see so many people that are tortured. I just talked to somebody yesterday that's tortured because his girlfriend left.
Oh.
And he doesn't know what to do. Mm-hmm. And although I understand it, it's like the reason you feel such passion for me. Here's another misperception. The reason you feel such passion for somebody, if you ever met somebody, you know, and you think, that is my soulmate.
Yes.
How many times have you heard? Know you've heard people say this.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, this is my soulmate. And so I feel this way, therefore,
right,
they must be the love of my life.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And they misperceive, I guess, what those feelings are.
Right.
They don't get what those feelings are. They think it's because of somebody else giving it to them.
Right.
Again, and it's not. Mm-hmm. Those feelings that you have is karma.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's not. There's only one kind of love, and that's self-love. That's
yes.
it.
Yes. Yes.
It's contained within you. That's mm-hmm. why you can love animals and children and other people. It's because of you, because
right.
you have the love.
Right.
Not because
right.
they're giving it to
yes.
you. Not because they're making you feel it. You love yourself more when someone else loves you.
Yes.
So
yes.
if you could stop that, take away that need, it's like a fix.
Mm-hmm.
If you can take away that fix, then you're in love all the time.
It's true.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, and you know, there's a lot of, you know, about codependence and all that in psychology. We hear about all that stuff, but I believe it's so true. And I think a big part of it, and I know you write this in your book too, is when you've had even a small amount of issue in your life growing up compared to a huge, horrible early life such as yourself, no matter what you've had, you need to forgive yourself for all the negative feelings or putting down yourself or buying into all those negative messages that you heard about how you're not worthy or you're stupid or you're never going to amount to anything or you're ugly or fat or anything.
Yeah.
You just have to say, that's that stuff, and I forgive myself for feeling this way.
Well, there's a reason why you had that stuff happen. It's not just because you're a jerk off, and it's not because you're an evil person.
Right.
Your actions, your so-called ostensible negative actions, have nothing to do with who you are.
Mm-hmm.
They have pain written all over it.
Yes.
That's it. Negative actions are based on pain.
Yes.
They're not based on, I think I'm just going to do something awful to myself.
Yes.
And to
yes.
somebody else. They're based on pain.
Yes.
Everything. When I see somebody being hateful to me, first thing I look at is the pain they're in.
Exactly.
They don't have love. They don't love themselves. I don't take it personally.
I think you can't.
You can't take it personally because it's got nothing to do with you.
That's such a huge message for listeners, because I think a lot of people have, you know, a lot of inner pain from, you know, again, all those messages or the abuse or the negativity, and they've bought into it.
Yeah.
So they believe when someone is angry or projects their stuff onto them that it's about them. It's not about you.
No.
It's about someone's pain.
But the cool thing, you can use it.
Yeah.
You can take that thing that somebody says to you that hurts your feelings, and you can go, ooh, okay, wait a minute, this is about me. What is this? What am I learning? What am I getting? And it's like you cannot, it's not personal, but it gives you an opportunity to look at your trigger points.
Mm-hmm.
When somebody's being hateful and you have a reaction, like I have a lot of reactions I don't like.
Right.
So I stop accepting those reactions, and I start changing them.
Right.
I was watching them. Speaking of people in pain, I was watching, you know, Ryan O'Neal and his daughter Tatum have the reality show?
Oh yes, yeah.
I was watching it yesterday, mm-hmm. and I was drawn to it for some reason. And maybe it's just so we could talk about it today. I don't
know.
There you go. I was watching the pain that both of these people are in, and they're in unless they're faking it, but they battle each other all the time. And I watched Ryan O'Neal, and I saw the wounds of his child, and he gets so defensive with his daughter.
Yes.
I mean, everything she said, when she says something to him, he gets so, like, he just gets livid so defensive about what she says. Mm-hmm. And anytime a parent gets defensive about something their child is saying, it means they feel guilty about it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
There's guilt in there.
Right.
And all he would have to do is say, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. I was messed up. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Their relationship would be healed.
Yes.
And he'd have to look at himself like, why would I react that way? He's accepting his reaction every single time.
Right. Right.
And in order to change, you have to stop accepting that reaction and have a different one.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And that's the pain that you're in.
Right.
The pain that you're in causes you to react.
Exactly. And how do we, you know, in the Course in Miracles and countless, you know, channeling information through the ages, is we have to remove that ego.
You bet.
Get that ego out of there. And you hear probably, as I do, a lot of clients say, boy, he really knows how to push my buttons. It's no, he doesn't. He doesn't have a clue how
it's
to push
you. It's you pushing
what
your
are your buttons?
Buttons? Yeah.
And why?
If you stop, if you hate it when people are always pushing your buttons, stop having any buttons to push.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's the biggest thing. You probably see it actually more than I do, I think.
I do. And I just, you know, try to work on the individual and not blame the outside. Sure, we can talk about the outside environment or early problems growing up and what caused them to think, you know. But, at a certain level, as adults, we have to sort of take responsibility for that in our thoughts.
You know, it's like the feeling, look, the only control we have in the world is how we feel about it.
Yep.
And you can take two people that are having the same life situations, the same thing, exact same things are going on. One person is bitter and hateful and angry, and the other one's like, well, I'm getting something out of it. Mm-hmm. So it's how you feel about it.
So
that's
true.
The only real control you have.
It's really true. And you talk about opportunities, Pamela.
Yeah.
You know, looking at, this is an opportunity for me to look at my trigger. You talk about pain and disease as opportunities.
Yeah, they are.
Tell us about that.
Well, the soul, we are soul first. So whenever the body gets sick, the soul is trying to tell you something. So if you have diabetes, for example, you don't love yourself enough because your body is... it's in pain inside, and every disease starts with the soul first, every single one. And when you find out what your emotions are, what the emotions that you're having are, then you can heal that. Well, disease shows you what those emotions are. It shows you specific areas and places, and so does pain. And so if you're in a negative relationship, it's not because you've done something wrong. It's because you're doing something right. It's like you're trying to finally figure out what causes you to not love yourself. Mm. So pain is a tremendous opportunity to make changes. And we come here, our souls all come here to make changes. We don't like how we handle things the last time, so we're going to try to fix it this time. And pain always shows you what it is you need to fix.
It's true.
It's a big red alert, you know. It's like take the opportunity and look at why you're in pain. Don't just and objectively observe it and stop judging it.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
a friend of mine gets, you know, she always just laughs because she'll call me and say, "Oh, this happened to me. I can't believe this." And I went, "Well, it's a good thing." And she goes, I know. It's a good thing. And why is it a good thing?" And everything is. And I experience this myself, believe me.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And opportunity knocks all the time, you know, to finally heal a negative emotion. You can feel the karma.
Right.
When you're having a bad time with somebody, then your soul's trying to say, hey, I want to love myself enough to get out of this bad time with this other being.
Mm-hmm.
It's karma. Karma's with the self.
You talk about karma. By the way, let me just let you guys know, if you just tuned in here on LA Talk Radio, my special guest on the couch today is Pamela Beatty. She's the author of Why Am I Effed Up? It's a great book. It's based on a lot of therapeutic knowledge. It's also based on her ability to be an empathic, intuitive, and an energy healer. Pamela's been really doing this for so many years.
Yes, I have.
And
I've learned a lot.
You really have. And, you know, you talk about karma.
Yeah.
Do you believe that we have these past lives that we have to compensate for in this life? And is that fair?
It's not a compensation at all. Mm. And that's what people think. People think, oh, I messed up, so my karma is to suffer. Not at all. God does not punish. And if you believe karma is a punishment, then you believe God punishes people. And God doesn't punish people. Karma is opportunity. And what karma is based on, karma is always with the self. We think it's karma with other people. But we come back over and over again because we didn't like the way we did things. We didn't like that we didn't love ourselves.
Yes.
So you keep creating opportunities for you to love yourself out of a situation. So if you find somebody that you've been with before, mm-hmm. and there's karmic recognition, and you fall in love, and they're abusive,
right?
The karma isn't to stay.
Mm-hmm.
The karma is to walk away.
Mm. Okay.
Because you got to love yourself enough to get out of an abusive relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And so karma, again, is about love.
Mm.
It's about self-love.
Is it people's jobs to try to figure out what their karmic past was, or is it just important for people to say, this doesn't feel right, I don't deserve this, I deserve joy and love? And
yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't have to, I mean, you know, I'm a firm believer in what past life therapy does, and I've been doing it, you know, for such a long time, but what I've seen it make instantaneous healing on somebody because they understand why they are how they are.
Yes.
That understanding relieves the judgment.
Mm-hmm.
So when you understand, like when you see who you were with this other person in a past life and you see how abusive they were, when you see it from that perspective, you can go, oh my God, I've got to get away from this. I've got to walk away. And you've instantly healed the karma because it's with you. It's not with the other person.
Right.
And I think a lot of people misunderstand that. A lot of people, I think, wow, I've had this negative relationship, so therefore my karma is to suffer.
Right.
You know, I was abusive to this person
right.
in the past
I must
life.
Have been a bad person
yeah.
in my past
so
life.
Therefore, I must suffer. Right. And again, right. where does that come from? Judgment
right.
and a lack of self-love. If you love yourself enough, if you love yourself constantly, if you love yourself enough, you won't have any more negative karma.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, it's beautiful how it walks away. Or you see somebody... I'm a single woman, so and I don't date. But the reason I don't date is because I don't need that karma anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? It's like I can just love myself and totally enjoy myself and not have that karmic relationship thing.
But Pamela, have I got a guy for you? I'm sorry. Couldn't help myself. I always do that. It's
oh,
just,
I'm sorry. I thought
I'm one of those people that does
it
that.
On this
my
show?
Friend. Have I got a guy for you?
Oh my God, am I on a dating show? I didn't know it.
No.
Is this a hidden camera?
That's right. Well, there
is
are hidden cameras.
Is this an intervention?
In here,
I'm not sure.
By the way, if you just tuned in, my guest today is Pamela Beatty. She's the author of her latest book. It's Why Am I F'd Up? And we never have enough time to talk.
We don't.
We never. Well, on the air at least.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. You know, I wanted to also talk because you give such great instruction in your book to help people. You talk about helping readers get rid of negative thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
So what is single thought therapy that you suggest?
Well, you know, so much of the time we think we get overwhelmed at the thought of healing ourselves because it seems like such a daunting task. So single thought therapy is when you have a thought you don't like, you change that thought.
Right.
And eventually you run out of thoughts to change. It's like in a moment, instead of accepting a reaction, instead of having a, if something feels painful, if somebody says something to you and it hurts you,
yes,
there's your opportunity. And you think, oh my God, those people are terrible. You know?
Yeah.
They're bad. They're evil. They're, I'm blah, blah, blah. And I get really mad and really upset right there in that moment. You go, oh, wait a minute. I don't want to think like that anymore.
Yes.
How do I want to think? I want to think this way.
Mm-hmm.
And you, in that single moment, in that single thought, you change it. When you change that thought, then you change yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you don't have to sit, honestly, you don't have to sit down and meditate all day. You don't have to constantly be, you just have to be paying attention.
Yes.
If you pay attention, you'll change your life.
In your conscious state of reacting, you can change to not reacting, to understanding and sort of changing those thoughts that are negative to more positive.
Yeah.
Okay, I choose to not.
Yeah, and like, whoa, wait a minute, I don't think like that anymore.
Exactly.
I think, how do I want to think?
Right.
Nobody's standing over you with a gun to your head saying you have to think a certain way.
Right.
It's like, wait a minute, I don't think like that.
Yes. And if people are cruel, what I found too, and I know this is in your book, if people are cruel or saying hurtful things, they are saying hurtful things. And, you know, the thought of they're terrible. How horrible. It's more like, gosh, I'm so sorry they're in pain.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to take it on. Why am I reacting so strongly? Of course I feel hurt because I feel dissed. And it's,
well, reactions are human. I mean,
exactly.
we're designed with them. We were created with them to have those reactions. So they're beneficial.
Mm-hmm.
They're not to make us suffer. They're to benefit us. They're to make us. I think Buddha once said the fastest way to the path of enlightenment is to pay attention.
Right.
And it's like, pay attention if something makes you feel bad. Pay attention if something somebody says makes you sick at your stomach. Pay attention if somebody insulting you wants you to bash your head up against the wall.
Yes.
You know, pay attention if somebody can make you cry. Pay attention if somebody can make you happy. Pay attention.
Yes.
Pay attention to your emotions. Stop ignoring them.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And once you start paying attention, you will instantly start changing.
Yes.
You really
exactly.
will. Exactly. I mean, I believe that 100%.
I do too.
And I've seen it in my own life. I wouldn't have to see it in anybody else's.
And you've seen it in your own life because you chose to change your thoughts.
Yes.
You chose to change your reactions.
Yeah, exactly. And I stopped accepting them.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I used to have a hellacious temper.
Did you?
Oh my.
No, I don't believe that.
Oh my.
Not
Lord,
you,
yes.
Pamela.
Oh, yes.
Really?
Yeah. I haven't walked on water yet.
You're working on it, though.
I'm working on it, yeah. But, yeah, I had a terrible temper, and I would just fly off the handle. And, you know, years later, I found out, well, my dad had a terrible temper. My dad was abusive, so his way of resolving things was to beat you up.
Sure.
And get really angry, so it's the only thing I knew how to do.
Mm.
When something hurt me, when something affected me, I would react with anger.
Mm-hmm.
And I was fortunate enough that... it went away, but the way it went away, you know, if you look back on it, it doesn't sound pretty, but
yeah,
I almost killed someone.
Yes.
I had such a reaction to what they did.
Right.
Is this guy and he called me a name that I completely, I now believe in temporary insanity.
Yeah.
And I mean,
yes.
I did.
You saw red. You had no control.
I was gone.
Yeah.
And he said that and I don't remember a thing until I woke up with a gun to his head.
Girl.
And I didn't.
Wow.
I was like, how did I get this gun?
Right.
And I turn around and the entire room was destroyed. I had turned chairs upside down, thrown lamps out the door, ripped a TV off the wall, and I had no conscious memory of it whatsoever.
Wow.
I just woke up and I had a gun to his head.
Right.
And he was like 6'4".
Right.
I'm 5'4".
Right.
So,
yeah.
You know, and he was terrified.
I bet.
And I would have been too. And I turned around and I went, what happened here? And he said,
yes.
You did.
Wow.
I was devastated.
Right.
And so from the good thing about that, the opportunity of that was I realized how much stored up rage I had, so much so that I could just snap.
Yes.
And so I started seeing it. I've never lost my temper since.
Wow.
So what a benefit that was.
That is wonderful. That is a wonderful benefit.
Yeah.
And there really is such a thing. You know, they have expert witnesses, of course, in the courtroom about temporary insanity. You know, there are a lot of people who fake it, of course.
Yeah.
But because if you look back in their history, there'll be repeated experiences
yes,
of that.
Yes, exactly.
But when we sometimes really, truly are, our buttons are pushed so far and we haven't resolved them or worked through them.
Yeah.
We literally see red or we go blind. It's almost
I just
like
went
a,
blank.
Yeah.
And I never would have believed it before. I thought, you know, before I thought people were making it up.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, you also talk about spirits, sort of ghosts being out there in the unseen. And do you feel that there are some of those, what shall I call them? Entities who we can't see on this plane who influence us at all or?
All the time.
Okay.
Positively and negatively.
Okay.
And I've seen it, I see it on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
And we're you know, the illusion of this planet is there's a separation between mm-hmm. us and people on the other side. And mm-hmm. there isn't. It's just a vibrational level.
Yes.
So you can have... I had a classic case of a spirit influencing them, and I'll use this as an example.
Okay.
A client called me and she said, I need you. Can you please come over right now? It's kind of an emergency.
Yeah.
So I went running over there, and her nose was all red. She hadn't slept in 48 hours at least.
Wow.
Yeah, she hadn't slept. She was pacing, and she said, I said, you look like you're on drugs. And she said, well, I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
But she said, I feel like I am. She
wow.
said, I can't sleep. She said, it's just like being, you know, on heroin.
Wow.
She said, I'm throwing up, but I just can't. Well, she had a, because of the energy work I do, I was able to, there was a spirit attached to her.
Really?
And, yeah. She had walked into a 7-Eleven, and a young girl died there,
mm.
and from a drug overdose.
Mm-hmm.
And my client had walked into this 7-Eleven, and this spirit saw her and felt she could relate to her, and that this girl would figure out who she was, and they could hang out and do drugs together, and, you know, she just was needing help. So she attached to my client.
Mm.
And once I got that spirit away from her energy, the client was fine instantly.
Wow.
Instantly.
I mean, a lot of people listening say, well, you know, maybe that's why there's a lot of evil people or bad people or a lot of, because, you know, there's some negative spirits. But how, I mean, for people who really think this way, how can they get rid of, if there isn't the negative energy around them or the negative, are they attracting this? Or
in a way,
yeah.
I mean, there's something, again, it's an opportunity for them to heal something.
Mm-hmm.
But it's an opportunity for them to see their own negative ways,
yeah.
because spirits are usually attached to us because they feel a camaraderie. They see something in us that they feel in themselves.
Yes.
And the best way to get rid of them is, again, pay attention, realize, like, wait a minute, have you ever said, I just don't feel like myself today?
Yes.
Well, that's probably because you got a spirit around you.
Uh-oh.
Go
like, away.
Man, I just don't
I'm not
feel
acknowledging
like myself
you.
Or, you know, I'm so angry yeah. today and nothing really happened to
right.
make you angry.
Right. Why am I so on edge?
Yeah.
What's up with that?
Yeah.
You know, see, I always go the chemical route.
You
know, what's going on? You know?
Yeah.
In the brain.
Yeah, exactly.
But,
and
know.
it's a lot of, not every time. Sometimes you're just having a bad day. But
yeah.
But a lot of times it's because a spirit is around you and they're trying to influence you or most of them are not evil. They're just in pain like the rest of us.
Mm-hmm.
And they're trying to find help. And a lot of them that are attached to you don't realize they're not.
Okay,
alive.
What can we say to make them go away?
Well, for,
go away.
First step is recognition. Pay attention.
Okay.
The second step is, it seems funny, but start laughing. And just say, oh, this isn't me. Go away. Just don't get too like, oh my God, I have to do something really serious. No, you don't. You're the one with the body.
Yeah.
You're the one in charge.
Okay.
So just tell them to go away, but tell them in a loving, oh no, yeah, I'm not dealing with you today. Just go away.
Yeah.
You know, just go away. And then, you know, another thing that you can do at the end of the day is take a sea salt and baking soda bath
mm-hmm.
and kind of scrub your skin a little bit and soak in there and light a candle and then meditate, you know, and just bring light into yourself all the time and kind of try to raise your vibration. But it doesn't have to be serious. I'm not saying that there aren't demons out there. There are.
Mm.
But
that's scary.
If you ignore them, then they start having more control.
Mm-hmm.
If you pay attention and you realize they're there, you can get rid of them like in a snap.
Mm-hmm.
But if you ignore it, then they get more and more attached
mm-hmm.
to your soul.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that makes sense.
Well, no, it does. Basically, love that which you are.
Yeah.
Meditate, bring in good energy, thought energy,
yeah.
and, you know, just try to make it safe for you and know that you do have the body and you are in charge.
Yeah. Laugh a lot.
Yeah, right. I don't buy into you at all.
Exactly.
It's a positive
Whatever.
Energy. Well, as always, we have to go so soon, Pamela.
I hate that.
I know, but you'll be back again. So there you go. That's great. Anyway, thank you so much for being on the show, Pamela. It's always a pleasure. Always lots of fun with you.
No, thank you. And I really appreciate it. I love coming here.
Great.
It's great.
And thanks for helping the listeners as well. Maybe you can give them information about how to get in touch with you and get your book as well.
My book is on Amazon.com, and it's also on BarnesandNoble.com, mm-hmm. so that's the best way.
Yep.
My website is, and it's my blog, whyamifedup.net, or Pamela or PamelaBeatty.net. Either one gets you to me.
And Beatty is spelled B-E-A-T-Y,
yes,
folks.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. And I will include that in the archives so folks can get
Thank
in touch
you.
With you and when they download the show and also listen to iTunes for free.
Yay.
On the podcast, they can hear you. Pamela, thanks again.
You're
Always
awesome.
A pleasure. You're a doll.
Yeah, right. You're awesome. Thank you.
Thank you. Pamela Beatty, author of Why Am I F'd Up? This is Dr. Michelle. It's about time we go. And as I always do say, take care of yourself first, because then you'll be great for others. That's the way it works. Have a wonderful day. I'll be back next Friday at 11 live. Of course, download the shows if you like. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.